It's no secret that the United Nations is trying to tell the world how to live, and now they want to tell countries how to behave, and now they're trying to tell every parent how to raise their children. Joining us today is Selwyn Duke, who's been following this issue for us.
Hi, Michael. It's great to be on the Savage Nation again. Today I want to alert your audience, Michael, to something very serious. This is something that threatens the very integrity of one of our most cherished institutions, and I'm talking about the family. Now, this threat is being promoted off the radar screen, and not surprisingly, the mainstream media won't tell people about it. And what is it? Well, it's something called the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. Now, I know that may sound innocent enough, but hearing that Orwellian name, anyone with discernment will also hear warning bells. After all, we all know about how Big Brother has justified intrusion into the family time and again, saying, as every demagogue seems to today, it's for the children. For example, consider the excesses of child protective services agencies. And let me tell you, living where I do, within the gravitational pull of Den of Iniquity number 2, and I'm talking about New York City, I could relate some grapevine horror stories about social worker home invasions that would make your head spin. And here's just one little anecdote. I had an acquaintance whose 13-year-old son was actually required to strip down for social workers so they could examine him. He was 13 years old. Now, why did this happen? Because, get this, it was discovered he might have suffered a scratch while being restrained by a family member. Now, if you think that's bad, it's nothing compared to what the Convention on the Rights of the Child could visit on Americans nationwide if it's ratified by our government. For example, Chelsea Schilling at WorldNet Daily tells us, quote, "The international treaty creates specific civil, social, cultural, and even economic rights for every child, and states that the best interests of the child shall be a primary consideration. While the treaty states that parents or legal guardians have primary responsibility for the upbringing and development of the child, Farris, that would be president of parentalrights.org, Michael Farris, said government will ultimately determine whether parents' decisions are in their children's best interest," unquote. Now, unfortunately, believe it or not, this treaty is closer to becoming reality than you may think. It has already been ratified by 193 nations worldwide, and it was actually signed in 1995 by then UN Ambassador Madeleine Albright. Or maybe I should say Madeleine Halfbright might be more appropriate. However, because of opposition by Senate conservatives, the U.S. was one of only two countries not to ratify the treaty. Not surprisingly, though, the Convention on the Rights of the Child's chances of passing muster today are far better, and we all know why this is. We've got devoted leftist Barack Obama in the White House and many more of his fellow travelers in the Senate. And these are people who are devout internationalists. They believe that virtue lies not in protecting culture and sovereignty, but in being a thoroughly amalgamated citizen of the world.
No borders, language, and culture with the UNers, huh?
No, Michael. I think the only border they recognize is the stratosphere. But look, in other words, with this treaty we stand at a precipice. We may approve what is a veritable declaration of war on parental authority. And let's consider some of the treaty's elements, as listed at parentalrights.org. And you won't believe this, and it's just a sampling. 1. Parents would no longer be able to administer reasonable spankings to their children. 2. Children could choose their own religion, while parents would only have the authority to give their children advice about religion. 3. The best interest of the child principle would give the government the ability to override every decision made by every parent if a government worker disagreed with that decision. 4. A child's right to be heard would allow him to seek governmental review of every parental decision the child disagreed with. 5. According to existing interpretation, it would be illegal for a nation to spend more on national defense than it does on children's welfare. 6. Children would acquire a legally enforceable right to leisure. 7. And listen closely to this one. Teaching children about Christianity in schools has been held to be out of compliance with the Convention on the Rights of the Child.
Wait, you've got to be kidding. Is this going to apply to Islam and Islamic countries too?
Yeah, Michael. I can really see Pakistan shutting down their 10,000 madrasas. Okay, now, I've got two more. Number 8. allowing parents to opt their children out of sex education has also been held to be out of compliance with the Convention on the Rights of the Child.
Oh, it sounds like Alfred Kinsey's handiwork again.
Yeah, Michael, the ghost of Kinsey walks the earth, I think, and he's a United Nations diplomat now. And finally, number 9. Children would have the right to reproductive health information and services, including abortions, without parental knowledge or consent. Now, as bad as this is, you know what? We wouldn't have to worry about it if the treaty were an isolated legislative accident. The problem is that it's part of a deep cultural malaise, one that's been spreading and steadily eroding parental rights. For example, consider the precedent set by a court in the Gatineau region of Canada in a case involving a divorced father and his 12-year-old daughter. And this is truly outrageous. Listen to this. What happened was that the father forbade his daughter from going on a school trip because she had posted pictures of herself at an online dating site and then gotten into a rancorous argument with her mother. Well, the girl actually sued her father, which is allowed under Canadian law. Now, when I tell you about the outcome of the case, bear in mind that the Convention on the Rights of the Child would give children all over the world the right to sue their parents. So, what happened in the Canadian case? Well, a judge ruled that the father couldn't discipline his daughter because depriving her of the school trip was an excessive punishment. And the daughter's lawyer actually said, listen to this, she's becoming a big girl. It's a unique event in her life.
Unbelievable. If these compassionate lawyers care so much about the child, maybe they'd like to raise her.
Well, Michael, it seems they only know how to control parents, not children. But now, there's something we have to understand. This government intrusion is an intolerable, malevolent attack upon the family. And if we want to fully grasp this, we must understand that the family is a nation unto itself. It has a government, the parents, and the governed, the children. And this little nation, the family, has been called the central building block of civilization, and for good reason. If this small government is healthy, there's no need for big government. And let's look at something Ben Franklin said here. He said, "Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters." Well, how do you create virtuous people capable of managing freedom? The family. When the small nation of the family is healthy, parents tend to their responsibilities, and the children, in turn, are transformed into moral beings who will fulfill theirs. And they'll exercise their free will properly and become good citizens who have no need of masters. But a prerequisite for this is that the family, government, the parents, must be able to ensure tranquility within their own borders. And this puts the matter in perspective. When big government trumps parental rights, when it thwarts parental discipline, it's doing nothing less than inspiring the factions, the children, within another government, the family, to revolt. And this means it then plays the role of a hostile power. A hostile power that's fomenting unrest and destabilizing a society of blood kinship. And why would it do this? Well, you could suspect that big government means to destroy the family government. But whatever the case, one thing is for sure. Big government should then be treated just the same way as any other foreign interloper with designs on the throne. In just the same way. Because it has committed an act of war. Michael, thanks for having me on this great show again, and God bless you and your audience.
Thanks, Selwyn. This is just unbelievable. Instead of a nanny state, we're becoming a nanny planet.